As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, would you hear these words from Psalm 121? I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Would you pray with me? And so, living God, just like those magi did a couple thousand years ago, we lift our eyes up this morning to the stars, to the hills, to you, O Lord, declaring that on this first Sunday of 2025, O Lord, our help will come from you. This year, whatever lies before us, the unexpected good surprises and the unexpected griefs, we know, we trust that you will hold us, you will keep us, you will be by our side, and your steadfast love will carry us. And so this morning, it is our joy, O Lord, to sing praises to your name. It is our joy to start this year in your word together. It is our joy to come to your table and receive the gift of grace through the bread and the cup, through Christ with us and for us once again. You, O Lord, are our hope, our help, our King this day and this year. And so would you have your way among us in this place? Change our hearts as we encounter you in worship. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, as we turn to your word, would your spirit move freely among us, ushering us into the same presence of Christ as the Magi found that day? And in your presence and through your word, would you help us be whoever it is that you want us to be? So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every year on this Epiphany Sunday, we start with a little wise men trivia. So those of you who have been coming for a while, hopefully we'll be one, two, three, four for four this morning. We'll see. All right, question number one. How many wise men were there? All right, I hear some goods and some not so goods. So we know there were three gifts, but there nowhere does it say there were just three men. Could have been hordes, we don't know. Where did they find Jesus? In a house in Bethlehem. So we kind of mess the kids up when we make them bring the wise men to the barn. It's the only prop I have. But a house in Bethlehem. He was likely around 2 years old. That's why later in the story, when Herod sends out a decree to kill all the children, remember, he chooses those who are two and under based on what he heard from the wise men. So he wasn't brand new infant Jesus, probably more like toddler Jesus. What was their occupation? I'll give you just one little key. They weren't kings. That came through later tradition. Yeah, astrologers, astronomers, folks who look to the sky. And where'd they come from? The east. Maybe the Persia area. Maybe about 900 miles away. I love this story of the wise men. There are so many sermons that could be preached from just 12 verses. One of those sermons could be an entire sermon about how pagans encounter Jesus before most anyone else. And how we have this God who can move however he wants and reach whoever he wants, however he wants. The Magi tell us that God's grace and God's invitation really knows no bounds. These guys are not religious as far as the Jewish people are concerned. They are not living in the right place at the right time. They didn't know any of the prayers of the faith. They probably couldn't recite a single verse from the Torah. And I can tell you, they didn't have a perfect Sunday school attendance. They probably didn't even know the first verse to Amazing Grace. And yet, the star shined where they could see it. And yet, the invitation to come and behold the Messiah was theirs to receive. And yet, God whispered, "You've got a place in my story too." Seeing that star 900 miles away from the center of religious life tells us that the people who still think that they are the farthest from God's reach are under God's tender gaze as much as anyone else. That star that shined for these folks who had never stepped foot in the temple in their lives tells us that those of us who are not so good at being religious, those of us who still get a little bit bored in our morning scripture reading, those of us who still doze off during the prayer of confession, those of us who miss more Sundays than we really intend to, the Magi tell us that God's grace and invitation shines above us just the same. The entire sermon could just be about the expanse of God's grace and God's invitation. But that's not the sermon for today. I could preach about how the Magi drop everything and follow that star because Jesus is worth that. And that sermon, I would ask us to consider, what are the things that we are unwilling to drop to simply come and be with and follow Jesus? That would be a good sermon, maybe next year. I could talk about this place of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, small among Judah. And how when God wanted to do a brand new thing, a brand new work of salvation on this earth, he chose to do it in this nothing town of shepherds. And if there, then why not places like here? That could be a sermon. I could preach an entire sermon just about worship. Just about being as excited as the Magi were to come into the presence of Christ and to honor him. Could preach a sermon about getting so caught up in his presence that we are moved in the deepest parts of our beings as they were moved. About how he is worthy of our bowed knees and our surrendered hearts and our every effort to come and be with him. And that sermon would invite us to come into this place week after week this year with crash helmets on. Because we know that encountering this place of worship, that the God might actually show up and might shake everything. It would be a sermon that might call us to wake up every morning this year more excited about being in the presence of Jesus than about anything else on the schedule for the day. It would remind us that we get to live our days every day in the actual presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that is a big deal. And that sermon would beg us to never let this become old news. It's a big deal. That's not this sermon. I could preach about the different gifts that we bring. We don't know how long they bowed before him. It could have been a few minutes. It could have been hours. But at some point, they seem to have remembered, wait a second, we've got gifts. And they start to empty their bags of what they had packed 900 miles back. The things they had prepared to give this king even before their journey began. They just began to empty it out. Once you see how good God is, once you see how worthy God is, you just want to empty your bags and give God the best gifts that you have to give. For them, it was gold, a gift for a king that cost them something. Their 401ks took quite a dive that day as they withdrew this gift for this king. But it mattered not because they were about to be in the presence of God's anointed one. And the very best gift they had, that is the gift they would bring. There was frankincense in that bag. This is the gift for a priest, the incense that rises as the prayers of the people to the ears of God in heaven. And there was myrrh in that bag, an aromatic gum resin used as perfume and embalming. If it was a sermon about gifts, that sermon would ask us, what is the gift that we bring to Jesus on this first Sunday of the year? Is it a gift of the heart? Is it the best gift we've got to give him? Or I could preach about how they go home another way, a different route than they had come. They're going to risk their necks not going back to Herod to tell him where to find this Jesus. They're okay with that. They're adding time to their already long journey by taking the back roads. And it doesn't matter. Because you see, when we put ourselves in the presence of Jesus, when we take time to actually be with our Jesus, we also find that we are radically changed by Jesus every single time. And being with Jesus more and more, we realize that we too start to take the riskier way when it's the faithful way. And we're okay with that. And being with Jesus more and more, we realize that we too begin to take the back roads when the whole entire world is speeding down that highway right past us. And we're okay with that. We're okay with going a little bit slower through this life so we can protect the Christ within us. And not lose him in the rat race that everyone else seems to be caught up in. We show up to Christ and let him change us day by day, week by week. That is the journey of faith. And those would all be good sermons, I think. But that's not today's sermon. You're like, man, isn't the sermon already? Not today's sermon. It's short, don't worry. Today, I'm struck by these men who spent their entire lives looking to the sky. And each of them found that what they were looking for all along was the same thing, the same person, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What makes people look to the sky? Think about that. What did these ones give their lives to such a task as stargazing for? What were they looking for? Think about in your own life, when you last looked up to the sky, what were you looking for? Perhaps it was grief that made you look up, wondering, hoping that there is more out there, that there really is a place where those who we love have gone. I remember my grandma's funeral, my beloved grandma. We laid her to rest and we walked outside of that funeral home and we looked up to the sky and two airplanes had crossed paths and there was this perfect cross in the sky above us. The moment her funeral finished, we looked to the sky in our grief and we found hope. There is more than meets the eye. I wonder if one of those wise men had buried a spouse and gave the rest of his life to looking up, to hoping, to wondering if he would see her again somewhere out there. Is it wonder that makes you look up sometimes? Wonder. Just trying to fathom how big it all is, how bright those stars must be, how long some of them have been around. Do you ever just stand in awe? Wonder, say it's awesome. Did you know that the stars in the Big Dipper are 60 to 125 light years away? So when you just look at the Big Dipper, you are seeing light from before you were born. How do you get your mind around that? The Andromeda Galaxy, it is the most distant object that is visible to the naked eye. And the light we see from the Andromeda Galaxy is 2.5 million years old. That means when we look at the Andromeda Galaxy, we are seeing it as it was 2.5 million years ago. Does that just make you be full of wonder and awe? It's awesome. I wonder if one of those wise men on that journey had been one of those little kids that had 1,000 questions about everything. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? What do you mean? What is that? And they grew up to be an adult just the same. That wonder made them look to the sky. Was it a need for perspective that got you to look up? I find in my own life when I feel totally overwhelmed, one of my favorite things to do is to go out and climb a mountain, get to the top of it and look out and then look up. And in that place, I tell myself, if the living God can do all of this and hold all of this together, then the worries I've got in my life right now really aren't a thing. He's got that too. I wonder if one of those wise men was just a little bit overwhelmed by the stack of bills and that job that was still undone and what he had seen on the evening news. And he just had to look up and had to remember, had to tell himself, surely someone's got this. Sometimes we look up just for perspective. Maybe it's a need for connection that makes us look up sometimes. Lovers hold hands under the stars and they feel so close together as they twinkle above them. Fievel, remember Fievel? The mouse, he gets lost in New York City and he looks to the stars hoping that someone who loves him is looking at the stars too, and he sings that song, "Even though I know how far apart we are." It helps to think we might be wishing on the same bright star. Do you ever look up and think of those who have gone before? And think of those who will come after all of us under this great big canopy. We know more nowadays how connected we all are, that what goes up into the sky in places like China somehow actually affects our life right here in America, and vice versa. We look up and we remember that we belong to each other. I wonder if there might have been a wise man in that group who was just feeling a little bit alone in this world. And looking up, he found himself wondering which people around here were his people. Who was looking up to? Who did he belong to? Did he have connection? Did he have community? Look up, who's looking up with me? I wonder if some of us were dreaming when we looked up last. Dreaming about the next plane that we might take and where it's gonna go. Dreaming about being on Bezos' next trip to Mars. Those who get antsy in this world, those who get a little bit bored with this gravity stuff, they tend to look up. I wonder if one of those wise men was the one who just dreamed some dreams, who dreamed of adventure, of seeing things that he had never seen before, of going to places he had never gone before, of doing things that he had never done before. And he looked up and wondered, dreamed what could be. Or last time you looked up, were you lost? Did you look up to get some guidance? Slaves would often follow the North Star, and sailors too. Where's the sun? That's east, that's west. Okay, we must go this way. I wonder if one of those wise men in the gang was feeling a little lost, not sure where to go, not sure what job to take, no idea how to save his wayward child or his failing marriage. No clue how to get out of this depression that had weighed him down for most of his adult life. No idea what this life was even for, just feeling lost. And so looking up, wondering, could I ever be found? Or last time you looked up, were you longing for daylight? I told you recently about my long night in the Sahara Desert when I thought I was going to freeze to death. I spent the entire night looking up, begging for any tiny glimmer of hope that this night doesn't last forever. I wonder if one of those wise men found himself in a long, dark night that just kept getting darker. And he was looking up just for a glimmer of sunshine, just for the tiniest glimpse of hope. Did you look up to get an idea of what was coming? A forecast. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. You looked out and you saw clouds across the sky and you packed your rain jacket. You were going to be prepared accordingly. I wonder if one of those wise men was that person that we all love, the first century walking weather app. The one who loved to be prepared and loved to tell everyone else what was on the horizon. Or was it just beauty that turned your eyes to the heavens? Sunsets and constellations and cloud formations, and you just found yourself soaking up the beauty of it all for a moment. I wonder if one of those wise men was one who was an artist in our midst, just drawn to beauty and just knew that beauty is always worth slowing down for, always worth enjoying, always worth the journey. Just take in the beauty. When you last looked up, what were you looking for? And perhaps the more important question this morning, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Would you actually answer that question in your heart? What are you looking for? You see, all these wise men, they could have looked up and seen that star for totally different reasons. But they all found this same response. It wasn't a star that they were looking for. It was a king. And it wasn't an apparition in the sky that drew them away from everything and sent them on a path to be totally changed. But it was a person. And all of their journeys, all of their needs, all of their motives and their longings, everything that they were looking for, everything was found for all of them in this person named Jesus. I ask again, what are you looking for? As we enter into a new year, what are you looking for? My friends, can I tell you that it's only really ever going to be found in Jesus, whatever it is. Your deepest aches can only be healed in Jesus. Your wonder will only grow wider, more awesome in the presence of Jesus. Your need for adventure, oh, I tell you, Jesus is ready to take you some places and show you some things that you never even knew were possible. Your longing for connection, Jesus calls you child and friend, and he puts you into this family, and he says you belong, and we say, welcome home. Your grief, they are with Jesus, and Jesus is with you. And so you are close to them, closer than you even know. Your lostness, your confusion, we get found in Jesus. He knows the way. Better yet, he is the way. Your worries, they can be laid down at the feet of Jesus and left there. Your love for beauty, I tell you, there is none more beautiful than Jesus, our Lord. Your need for purpose, Jesus has yours already figured out, and he is itching to fill you in on it. Your hope that this darkness really does fade, I've got good news. Jesus is the light of the world, and he overcomes the darkness. He is the bright morning star. What are you looking for? What does your heart long for? I don't know what it is for you, but I can tell you where it will be found this year and every year, this day and every day. So my friends, drop everything and hop on your camel and head west and don't stop until you get to the one called Jesus. Whatever you're looking for, it is going to be found in Jesus. I can't say that any more confidently. It is going to be found in Jesus. So just do whatever it takes to get yourself into the presence of Jesus. He is what your heart is looking for. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, our hearts carry all kinds of different needs and hopes and wishes and burdens and griefs and joys. But all of them are looking for you. For you are our creator and our sustainer, the lover of our souls, the holder of our hearts. And so may my friends and may I find you today, Jesus. And may we keep our eyes on you this whole year long. May we come back to you every single morning, every single week, again and again, ready to worship, ready to be in awe of you, ready to share our gifts with you, ready to be changed by you. For we are looking for you. Thank you that you are so willing to be found. You're right here. We just need to choose you. And we choose you this day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.